Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red knights at the round table, green knights where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red knights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee! King Shaziz the Terrible! All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Awing, 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 awing
River, she's a golden grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. The West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance
from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street, singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
Hey, hey, King Surveys the Turbo. All rise for King Surveys the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Looks like we got a full table today. That's pretty cool. Anyway, we were having a little bit of a discussion off the air there. I have it's either just me or it's the entire world, but I have this warped sense of reality going on in my mind, you know. It's the easiest way that I can explain it. Imagine watching the best artist in the world paint this beautiful picture. I mean, it's just the most amazing picture that you ever saw. And for whatever reason, once this artist got done, you know, painting this beautiful picture, which me personally, I look at this picture and I'm like, I'm amazed by it. I'm in love with it. You know, I don't want to see it go anywhere. And then suddenly, you know, this artist trashes this entire picture, just shreds it all up right before your very eyes. And so, you know, to me, I just can't get a grip on something as beautiful as this planet that we live on. I mean, it's just, to me, it's an amazing creation when you look at the butterflies and the bees and the fish and the trees and everything that's around you. It's just so amazing. I mean, if you could only visualize what this planet looked like on the very first day of creation, you know, if you've ever been out there, Google up semi-precious stones and look at the colors of those stones. You know, when you got a brand new house and you move into that brand new house and everything's just so fresh and clean, and it's something to behold, to stand inside of a brand new house that you own, and it's just it's a blessing that you get to stand there. But if you could visualize those semi-precious stones as the stones that you walking around and see all over everywhere, I mean, it would be like walking on jewels. The water crystal clear, the air just so beautifully blue, and you know, all the vibrant colors of nature just surrounding you, and it, you know, It harkens back to the whole Garden of Eden visual of what the world must have looked like at the first part of a creation. And so, as I watch all of mankind going down the path that they're on towards sure destruction, I know in my own personal spiritual belief, my guidebook to life, so to speak, it tells a story in there from start to finish, and I know that there's nothing that I can do to change that story according to my faith. I mean, that's just the way that my God said it was going to happen, and that's the way it's actually heading towards. But the person inside of me, the warped sense of reality that I have, I don't want to see this get destroyed. I don't want to see suffering in the world. I don't want, you know, I can remember back when I was a kid and I got beat up by this bully down the street. And I actually felt bad for that bully because I didn't want that bully to get in trouble even after he done beat me up. You know, on one side of me said, you know, I want to do whatever terrible thing I can do to this individual. And then on the other side of me, I recognize that other person that beat me up as a person, you know, as another human being, another soul. And so I didn't want nothing bad to come about. And it's like watching your brothers or your sisters get in trouble, you know, and you don't want them to be punished. You know, they're going to be punished, but you don't want it to happen. And to think that at some point in human history that we could see mankind and this world destroyed by its own evil deeds or nature or God himself for that matter. To me, it's like a waste of the most ultimate beauty that I can think of, you know. When in my book, in my faith, the Christian faith, the Holy Bible, not everybody agrees with it, and there's those out there that, you know, that everybody has their own say on the deal. But from my view of everything that I understand from my own personal faith, God was amazing. I mean, he did so much amazing stuff. He was the best artist, the best mathematician, the best creator of all. You know, I mean, all you got to do is look around. I mean, how can you look into the eyes of a beautiful kitten or a puppy dog and not have your heart warmed by that just amazement, that beauty? And so the part of me that just doesn't want to let go, and I know that you're not supposed to worship the creation, and I'm not trying to worship the creation, but I'm trying to point out that in my heart and my mind, I see this beauty. I see the potential of what this world could be, or what it could have been, and I think that to see it all go away would just be a shame, you know. Our Creator gave us something so wonderful, so beautiful, that we should feel blessed and honored just to stand on this beautiful earth. And as time passes, we watch all the pollution and the deterioration, and we see that this world has got to the point where it's becoming toxic for anybody to even live in. And I just keep thinking back to that first day, that very first day of creation, when this thing was very first put together and it was all shiny, and the rocks under your feet looked like jewels laying all over the place, in the water and the skies, and how it must have felt to stand there in that deal. Now, in my book of faith, it also talks about that, you know, if you're a believer, that one day you'll end up going living in a place like this called heaven. I just, you know, I know what the book says, and I know what mankind says. I've listened to everybody out there talk about all the different, you know, there's no way to get everybody to agree. There's no way to bring peace upon the land, and mankind is just inherently evil, and so on and so forth. I've heard all the negativity, but I've seen good people. I've seen good people from every nation. I've seen good people from every race and every background. And in my mind, in my heart, as crazy as it may seem, I don't want no harm to come to them or their families. I want them to be able to live in a peaceful world. You know, I gave this example earlier when I was talking off of air that, you know, if a father went to work and left his children behind and had a set of rules laid down, you know, don't break these rules, and when I come home I want the house in order and everybody to be getting along. And then if I left for work and I came back and the whole house was in total chaos, that that I would be enraged, and my wrath would come down upon my children. And then on the opposite side of that coin, I say that when I come home and my house is all in order and my kids are all getting along and everything's going just fine, then I smile on my children. I'm happy. I don't have no wrath. And so, what the point I'm trying to get across to is that some little piece of me, in the back of my mind, in the depths of my heart, keeps hoping that somehow, some way, that we can come together as a world and make our Creator smile on us whenever He comes back. You know, I know the book, I know the story, and I'm hoping that it's not completely written in stone, because what I've read in Revelations is a terrible thing for people to have to go through. I've had terrible nightmares for so many years, I can't even begin to tell you, and I can't even begin to tell you the things that I've saw. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And that's what drives me towards doing Shaziz Radio and trying to bring everybody together, because I know what the book says, I know what my dreams say, and I see the path that mankind is on. So I bring this Knights of the Round Table together to bring all these brilliant minds and wonderful hearts together to try to speak common sense. If nothing else, at least we're trying to move forward towards something better, while we all try to find our spiritual way back to our Creator. And so that's why it is that I do what I do. Sometimes it's a bit rough, and sometimes I get so discouraged that I just don't want to go on any further. But I do have this love in my heart that I just can't let it go. And I have this in the back of my mind.
Says,
yeah.
Did it ever dawn on you that you were created by your Creator, and that you are the Creator?
Well, brother,
you are the Son of God.
If
am I?
I'm not doing a good job if that's the case, brother, because the whole world's still a mess.
Yes, it is, but we are trying, because our Creator created us. So we want to do the best we can. We want to, but sometimes we can't. But if He comes back and our house is not in order, I'm getting crazy here.
I'm just hoping we can get our house in order. That's the whole thing.
Hoping. But hoping and doing something about it are two different things. Now, what we need to do, and what you're trying to do, and what you've been working your butt off to do, is get everybody involved.
Yeah.
The good people need to pull together. They need to get off their dead duff and do something.
Unfortunately, you know, Raymond, here's one of the things that I've noticed in my entire lifetime, you know, is that you got a huge family. I personally have a huge family, and they're scattered all over the place, and there's sometimes they won't talk to each other for years until somebody dies. Until there's a tragedy, families don't come together like they should. They should come together like every day was a tragedy, you know, and love each other the way that they do whenever something bad happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I understand exactly what you're saying. But my point is, you keep talking about the Creator. You keep talking about God. You say things about the Father going off to work, and leaving rules and coming home. I'm getting weird here.
Well, it couldn't be no weirder than me, man.
All I'm saying is, you are trying to talk to people and explain to them that we need to pull together. And that is exactly what we need to do. Pull together, not fight, not argue, just obey the rules. And the rules are not our Father's rules, they are our rules. They are what makes the world go?
I think we can all mutually agree that killing's wrong, so thou shalt not kill. We can all agree on that.
I don't want anybody killing me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to kill anybody else.
I know, but my mindset is just so bizarre. I don't know. I just feel like I'm not normal or something. But and I know we're all in the same boat, and I know there's people out there that probably feel exactly the way that I do. I just when I look out and I see the insanity of just in the alternative energy community alone. You know, that's just one example of things that I've witnessed in this world. I mean, we have no reason to be fighting over resources in this world. There's 3/4 covered in water. I mean, oil, we don't need oil. I mean, it's there, and I don't think we'll ever run out of it because you can synthetically make oil. It's been done, you know.
Yeah, you can make oil from garbage. I mean, it's been proved several times.
And so...
Yeah, we can use oil, but we don't actually need it. I guess it is a need, but it shouldn't be a basis of our life. It shouldn't be a basis of our economy. I mean, if it was oil, get a loaf of bread. That's going to be about 1/4 gallon. Come on now. I think the resources here were set for us to use, not to abuse.
Exactly.
And we were created in God's image, not just hands, fingers, toes, 2 eyes, a nose, a mouth. We're just like Father, Son, Holy Ghost, His mind, body, and spirit.
It's
in that order.
It's perfect.
If you think about it, He told us to speak things into existence in a way. You have to go to it. Well, what if you there be one who is sick among you, let him go to the elders of the church and have them lay hands on him, pray him, and then go about and speak as though you are well. Is he telling you to lie? No.
Well, I believe...
You have to speak things into existence, like God did.
I believe that. I believe that we are creatures.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. What is this word? It's what spoke the universe into existence, and it's still growing at the speed of light today. That's what I believe.
I believe that we can literally, if we choose to do so, bring about a heaven on earth. Now, I'm not saying we're totally discounting God or the Creator. I think that that is the gift that was given to us, that we could actually, if we could just learn what the lessons of life, we could live in harmony with nature, we could live in harmony with one another. We have that free will, that choice to do so. The problem is mankind hasn't chose to do so.
And what we had here was heaven. Look what we did to it.
Yeah.
You think bring what we have here to heaven? Maybe it's time to shed some stuff.
The greed, the evil that we're up against, you know? And I look around this world, and in every community I find good people. I find people that would give the shirt off their back to help you out. And those people out there are, in my opinion, there's more of those people than there are bad people in this world. It's the minority of some of the most evil characters in the history of time who have done the majority of damage in time. You know, the Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth, right? Well, If we wait around, may very well not even be an earth left whenever people get down. I mean, we're here sitting here listening to people talk about World War III already.
That might be what he's actually talking about, though. The meek aren't going to be in the war. The meek aren't going to be trying to fight. And they'll probably be the ones that survive. And then we get to clean it up. But then again, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Which I don't know what that means. Some people believe that means it's going to be another planet.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to say something stupid. If they're going to throw this earth away, can I have it whenever it's like everybody's done with it, you know? I mean, I think it's cool.
Did you ever watch that program called Earth Without Man? and
yeah, 500 years without after man.
Yeah, right. 500 years after man. I mean, duh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, if I'm going to spend eternity on this planet and everybody's gone, I mean, I'd be the last man on Earth. I mean, that would kind of stink, but I can sit there and wait a whole 500 years just to see an eternity worth of what this planet used to look like before man started throwing his McDonald's wrappers on the side of the road and, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I hope everything gets recycled and straightened out, and nature just basically filters, and I don't know, maybe it'll all go back, all the oil and stuff will go right back into the pockets and all that, but I do believe it's time to clean the fishbowl, if you know what I mean.
I agree, and I think that, you know, what Raymond's talking about, and they all talk about getting up off the doggone couch and getting out there doing something, I do in my local community. I'm just not healthy enough to run around cleaning the neighbor's yard too, but you know, if I can, I will. I'll do whatever I can to do my part. And right now, the only thing I've got right now is this shout box that we call Shaziz Radio Network, which is connected with all these other networks out there that are people of like minds, and we're trying to put those positive ripples out there and ideas for people to think about. And to me, that's what the round table is all about. You know, not all of us can get up and travel to each other's place and visit and stuff like that, but we have the luxury of being able to talk to one another, and hopefully those listening in could be inspired enough by an idea that we've talked about or, you know, something that would benefit them in their own personal community, such as, you know, we talk about getting together and building you a little group in your own local town and going out and doing things like Muddy was talking about, learning how to forage off the land for worst case scenarios and prepare for disasters. When everybody's working together, you know, that's to me a step towards what we're trying to accomplish. You know, when you plant a seed, you're not always going to be around to watch the first apple come off that tree, you know. It may be your generations after you before somebody can actually reap the benefits of your hard labors. But to me, it's worthwhile because somebody before us planted seeds that gave us the fruits that we enjoyed during our life.
Hey, I like that scenario, Shaziz. I really do, because there is a fable, and I'm absolutely certain that it's really and truly a fable. It might be true, and that's Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The man from Pennsylvania that grew apple trees, and all of a sudden he stopped. He took a bunch of seeds and headed west and stopped here, planted some seeds, stopped there, planted some seeds, stopped over yonder and planted some seeds, and so that when the pilgrims are we call it, you know, the people that went west would have something to eat.
And I love that. I love that concept and that idea. And to me, even if it weren't a real story, to me, it's a real story because it's what I believe in. You know, I mean,
it's exactly, I believe it.
Two things come out of it. Have you ever seen an apple tree in springtime?
Yes,
it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And so you not only have something really pleasant to look at in springtime, but you have something that's also going to bear some fruit that would sustain life. And you know, I think there should be so many Johnny Apple seeds on this planet, you know, going out throwing peach trees and pear trees and apple trees and planting gardens in all different directions. You know, think about it. Think about if everybody was to do that, you know.
You got it. Now that's what I was trying to say earlier. You are God. I mean, the Creator created you. You created your children.
Well, can somebody look up the definition of caretaker?
Yeah, that was Adam and Eve. They're supposed to be.
Because we're supposed to be caretakers of the land and nature and one another, servants to one another. And could you imagine if we actually did the job of caretaker and we t- took care. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
You're put here as gardeners and keepers of the planet and keepers of the animal. My goodness, when he comes back, he's going to be a little... It's like you walking into your home, man. And what are we going to tell him? A monster came through the window and spilled the milk?
No, you know what? We're really seriously going to do, and all the leaders of all nations are seriously going to do, whenever God shows up, they're going to point their finger. He did it. That's exactly what they're going to do. He did it. It's his fault. It wasn't me, you know.
I like that. Many, many years ago, my first wife and I, we came home one day. She was out of work, so was I. Looking in the refrigerator, and there were deep marks in a cave in the icing. And, all right, who did this? And our son said, Sheba did it, the dog. Right, like the dog that opened up the refrigerator and took some of the icing off the cake. Come on.
Well, either way, you know, I'm a little on the wild side, but I just still want to hold out hope. I just still want to hold out the dream that everybody could, like, hear some common sense. You know, we did that Shout It From a Mountain show, and that was, we wanted to reach out to everybody out there, because everybody out there has something to say. Everybody out there has hopes and dreams, and they have some bit of common sense that they just want the whole world to shut up long enough to hear. And so we want to give those voices a platform. We wanted people to call in, and we wanted people to send their messages in. We got some pretty interesting and some really tear-jerking messages coming from around the world during that show. And I was hoping that it would be much larger than what it was. I was hoping that it would, you know, resonate with people all over the planet, and people would jump in there and they would throw their hope for the world. You know, we every once in a while I play this deal. It's a prayer from 101 different languages. And when you hear people around the world, just all the average Joe wants is peace. You know, that's it. They don't want all this stuff that we hear going on in the news. They don't want death and destruction for one another. They just want peace. And I think that mankind has within the grasp the potential to bring about peace. You know, I know what the story, I know what the book says. And I know what my dreams say. I know what I see going coming down in the future. But it's the future that my mind can't get a grip on to know that the world is going to go through this type of trials and tribulations and turmoil. I know what's on the other end of the deal because I know the story. But it's that in between time, it's that little kid standing there watching his brothers and sisters and knowing that they're in really deep trouble with their dad, and they're going to be punished. And because I love my brothers and sisters, I don't want to see this come about. You know, can I stop it? No, but I can still hold on to that dream, at least in my own crazy mind, that, you know, I can talk common sense into them before it gets to that point. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do.
That's just me, guys. You know, I'm not trying to force my beliefs on anybody, but I'm just saying, at least take a second look, at least read it or check it out, you know, and don't close your mind and burn that bridge to what I believe our Creator is, you know. Just look at your brothers and sisters out there in this world and try to walk in their shoes just for a minute, just to see what it would be like to be them, and understand that, you know, that if that was you, that you wouldn't want to be treated that way, or you would want somebody to care about you. You know, I can't look upon any of you guys out there and think of anything that I would want negative to happen to you. You know, do we get mad at each other sometimes? Yeah, we're family. That's what we do. You know, we get mad at each other, but at the end of the day, you know, we love one another. And to me, that's what makes the world go around. You know, I had a dream, actually two separate dreams, but they were both related. One of the dreams that I had was I was standing in the presence of God. And after having this dream, I tried to figure out some words. I tried to formulate some sort of phrase that would explain the love that I felt standing in the presence of this being. And I just couldn't find anything that was powerful enough. I couldn't find anything that would say anything that would show justice to the feeling that I got in the presence. And you know, it was a life-changing experience for me. And then the other end of that coin was that I had a dream that I literally stood in the depths of hell. And once again, there were no human words, no phrases, no amount of things that you could say to explain the total separation from that first dream of just ultimate love to this total separation of nothingness. And I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy, to stand there in darkness and not be able to even have anyone to suffer alongside.
I think you just explained everything about the way you feel, because the way you feel is exactly the way I feel. When you are God, you are the father of your children, you lay down rules.
The daddy. Yeah, Abba Father.
Now, when you go away, there is no guarantee you're coming back. You say you're going to come back. Your children think you might come back. They know you're going to come back, but if something happens and you don't, they still have those rules. Now, I don't want to see anybody die. I really don't. But at the same time, I don't believe in punishing someone for doing wrong. They didn't obey the rules. I do not believe in capital punishment. I do believe in culling your garden. Okay. If something is sick and kills other people, you don't punish them. They're sick.
Well, trust me when I say there are some things that are definitely worse than death, I'm telling you.
You do cull your garden. You get rid of those that cannot obey the rules.
Well, can we build a rocket ship and put all the jerks on it and send them over there to mess up Mars' atmosphere or something?
Let's get real. You've got a...
I'm just saying.
You have a peach orchard. You've got 1,000 peach trees. One of them gets a blight. It's sick. Do you cut it down? Whip it with chains? Beat it to all to hell? Do you...
Good choice of words.
Whatever. I mean, no. You cut it down, you burn it, you destroy it, so it cannot infect the others. You don't punish a sick tree. Why would you punish a sick person? You just simply cull them. You don't punish sick people. Cull.
Well, whatever the answer may be, I'm just saying that it feels to me like the clock is a ticking on us. It feels to me personally as if our time is literally running out, that we're coming to a close in human history, that if we the people don't realize what's going on, if we are deceived by the evils of this world and the greed and the selfishness and so on and so forth, if we don't get together somehow, some way, and bring the masses to the same mindset, then those folks who are in power, seats of power and representation of this world, who are guiding humanity off the cliff, we're all going over that cliff together, you know. And I'd kind of like to say, hey, wait a second. Hey, Muddy, you want to help me put on the brakes over here? And Raymond, you want to try to steer this boat the other direction while me and Muddy's trying to get the brakes going, you know? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Then we'll install the boom boom stereo.
Yeah, we could have a party after. I don't care if you have a boom box. I just don't want to go over the cliff.
Exactly. I don't either. So you two guys keep running, and I'll keep steering this boat, okay? I'm going over here.
I got to drop a compliment. She did said something about, you know, giving all that you have and stuff, and the type of people. I can't exactly remember the phrase, but it did bring back to this, and this is what I do remember. I remember several times in my life when I gave my last $5. I look up here and I realize that everybody I'm looking at here is same kind of person. I know each of you have given your last $5 several times in your life.
Yep.
I know Justin does it with his church. He's trying to sit there and help people, you know, find a new life away from the grid and the craziness of the governments around. I know Barry's a big giver. He hasn't told me, but I know he is. I've seen him give things away too. I know Boomer is. And I look at Shaziz here with the Einstein haircut.
Cut your hair, man.
He pays for the servers. He owns servers, and he puts out as much as he can. He does this radio show. He does it all as a service. All of everything he does on YouTube is for the same thing, and not just trying to prove free energy, but to help find solutions. And he gives his time. I know I have. I amazed one of my friends that got in. He said, "I'd never seen anybody do that." Man came up to the cab. Needed $5. I had $5. I gave him my last $5. And he looked at me. He said, "I've never seen anybody do that." But there's something else that comes along with that. What comes around goes around. The radio popped up, and I got me a trip to Virginia Beach. There was $65. I loved it.
Well, so, all you got is a mouthful of chewing gum and a hole in your boat. You do with what you got, man. You put that chewing gum in that hole and pray for the best, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I see us trying to do. We're putting our chewing gum in the hole in the boat, trying to keep this thing afloat. Man, because I tell you what, I've been around long enough that I know a few stories of behind the scenes of struggles that people have had to deal with from all these different networks. And I know that their hearts are just like my hearts. They're just people. They're just the same thing as I am. You know, they're the people with love in their hearts, concern for their families, and they're out here trying to do what they can. You know, they got their bubble gum, and they're trying to plug that hole as well, you know, because they care. And not all of them have resources, and not everybody out there, you know, helps them, and they do what they do out of the goodness of their heart and off their own dime or whatever. And I've heard their frustrations, I've heard their tears, I've heard their laughter. You know, to me, it's an honor to sit here and talk to you guys. It really, truly is, you know? Because who am I? I'm just a guy. You know, I'm not God. I'm not the creator. You know, I understand I'm made in God's image. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying that I'm no better than Raymond. I'm no better than Muddy or Barry or Justin. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm just a guy who's trying to shout out a dream that's in my heart and hope to pull together everyone out there in this world who believes the same way that they'll start shouting too, you know. If I could pay for every single one of you to have your own personal radio networks and you guys went out and you told other people and did the same thing and we perpetuated that into, you know, the ripples in the pond that I keep talking about, you know, every pebble that you throw in the pond and it sends something positive out to this world. Some people believe in the power of positive thinking, and I try the best I can to think positive every single day. And I get up, I look at the headlines on the news, I try to see what's going on in the world, what needs to be addressed, and I bring it to the table. And sometimes I sound like a negative Nancy, I guess you'd say, but for the most part, it's out of concern and love that I'm saying this, not to try to fear anybody into believing in a certain way or not believing. I'm just trying to say, look, you know, hey, that little spot over there in the forest is on fire. Can we all, somebody who's close enough, run over there and stomp it out? You see what I mean, man?
Yes, Liz, you said something earlier about you and Buddy rowing the boat, and y'all are trying to not go over the cliff, fall. And I'm sitting here steering the boat, and you said something about somebody with bubble gum or chewing gum in their mouth trying to plug a hole. I'm thinking, hey, how about you people out there with a cup of coffee in your hand listening to this radio show? Would you please drink up? So you have an empty cup to bail with?
Amen, brother. Amen.
And you don't have the rudder in your hands, and you don't have any chewing gum to plug the hole. Drink your coffee and use your cup to bail.
See?
Bail, we're out of the boat so all of us can get shore without the cliff.
And I'm glad you said that, because I've been trying to tell everybody out there, if you believe in what we're trying to do here, and you waste a whole lot of time on Facebook anyway, why not drop some links and let people know what we're trying to do? You know,
yes.
Bring the people to the table, you know. Go out in your neighborhood and tell your friends, hey, you know, even if this network, there's other networks, there's so many people out there trying to do the same thing that we're trying to do. Make your own round table. Do something. And if you do make your own round table, let me know. I'll throw a link up here so people will go to your place as well. This isn't about numbers. It's not about being famous or rich. It's about a concern for laying down the paving stones that our children are going to have to walk on into the future of mankind. And so, you know, if that's in your heart and that's what you believe, jump in the chat rooms, throw in links, anything to push us forward. You know, take your coffee cup like Raymond said and bail some water out, for Pete's sake.
The secret is, do something.
Anything. As long as it's positive, man. Any push forward. You know, there's so many brilliant individuals on YouTube out there doing alternative energy research, and every time I find one of these individuals and I look at their research, I try to bring them to the forefront because I want them to have as many views as possible, because the information that they got, you know, the research from all the different projects. Raymond, you've done some pretty amazing stuff on some of your videos as well, and you know, I wouldn't have known about you had it been for Muddy, you know. And so that is how we network out and spread, you know, word of mouth or YouTube channels or Facebook or whatever social media you're on. But Muddy brought us all together here, and Barry and Justin, you know, through our research and our connections out there, we keep growing. And those information, the information that you researched, the information that Muddy researched, Muddy got me with a coffee can Stirling engine. That built a friendship, you know? I was so fascinated with the meticulousness of his coffee can Stirling engine that I subscribed and I tried to get a hold of him, and I finally did. I will never forget the first time I talked to him on the phone. I was like, wow, I can't believe he's talking to me. That was just awesome.
You said that the video where he made one for me, and what was that, the restaurant? Pam's restaurant? Buddy. Anyway, he made a coffee can, a soda pop can Stirling engine for me.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I had to, my cuckoo clock went off, which plays that theme from Peanuts, where Schroeder's on the piano.
I like that one.
but I didn't want to broadcast that, so I had to mute my mic and go stop the stupid thing. Anyway, I made a Coke can Stirling engine for Boom Boom with a regenerative displacer. And we met down there at a local restaurant down here, Pam's restaurant, where the food's cheap and they fills you up and it's good. We're sitting over there, and I had one of them stick lighters, you know, and I held that thing up and then put the flame up under the bottom of it and gave it a little spin. The thing was turning and turning and turning. You know, it was like five or six people come by the table asking about it, and the waitress too. And I went to hand it back to Boomer, you know, and I mean, I'd just taken the lighter off the bottom. It was still running. I went, well, no, and he grabbed the bottom of the thing.
Hey, really quick, she says.
Yeah.
Really. And Scott was all concerned. Did you burn yourself? Did you burn yourself? And I said, no. You just don't take long to look at it.
it take me long to look at it.
But the point of the whole thing is that that little bit of research that Muddy did built a friendship that's lasted all the way to this very day, you know? And all these little ideas out here put in conjunction with each other could literally be the puzzle. It could be the picture. If we put all these pieces of the puzzle together, could literally be the holy grail of free energy that we've been talking about. And so when I find these small channels out there and I see somebody doing some really good research that has to do with alternative energy, I want to try to tell people about that little channel, because I want to try to use the subscribership that I got, because they're interested in alternative energy, to say, hey, take a look at this guy over here too, because maybe you don't have as big a channel or as fancy a channel, but he does have some really valuable information that needs to be looked at. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. And then the thing is, there are people out there that are doing experiments and trying this and trying that, and it doesn't work. But the thing is, if it doesn't work, they're not putting that video on. They're making a video of doing something and it doesn't work, and they don't want to look stupid.
Well, so I like the ones, even the ones that don't work.
Wait a minute, please.
All right, sorry.
They don't put that video on. I have put several videos on of things that I've done that work. And my brother has chastised me many times for doing that. And yet I have had comments on those videos thanking me for putting them on so that they would not make the same mistakes I made. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that was what I was trying to point out, was that even the ones that, you know, they call it free energy or alternative energy, even the ones that aren't really working, they still have some valuable research within them.
Yes, because it keeps other people from making the same mistake. So I do something and it doesn't work. It didn't work, and I put the video on and search why it didn't work or that it didn't work, and I don't know why. Can you explain why?
Yeah.
Okay. That somebody else takes that and turns it around and puts something. Well, duh. What about if you do this? Okay. Well, can you do that? I'm saying, drink the last drop of coffee out of your cup and start bailing.
Yep.
Come on. People, don't say, well, you dummy, it didn't work. Why did you waste your time putting the video on? I wasted my time. No, I didn't. I put it on so that you wouldn't waste yours.
Well, to show you that I believe it wasn't a waste of time is the fact that your video got somebody to use some critical thinking that they may have figured out the answer on how to fix what you were doing.
Right!
And at the very least, at least their mind was being exercised instead of, you know, like it does whenever you're watching Dancing with the Stars or some kind of craziness.
Right!
You know, I don't want to just go along for the ride. I want to live life. I want to get out there and create. I want to take that portion in Genesis where it talks about man created in God's image and be what the best that I can be with what I've been given, you know? This is an amazing life. It really is. Even the ups, the downs, the roller coaster, you know, everybody out there has to admit you have had the opportunity to experience such a buffet of emotions in your entire lifetime, some of which weren't very good. But either way, that's life, man.
You know, in that on this subject matter, we talked about earlier, several weeks ago, about me building a drinking bird, a large one. Well, I did, and 9 foot. A 9 foot drinking bird, and it didn't work, and then it did, but it worked really slow, so I didn't make videos of it, and I think I really need to, and I really need to make a video showing that I messed up, because it does work.
Right, I would love to see it.
It works really slow, but it has a lot of power.
And I think that if you change probably just something, exotic materials, you know, like there's tubing, like, you know, PVC plumbing and so on. There could be some minor difference in the weight of the difference between acrylic tubing or PVC tubing. That little tiny difference in weight could make the entire difference on how fast that thing functions.
Yes, and that's why I really need to make video of it, showing that it does not work, and explaining why it doesn't work, and asking people, what can I do? Like, for example, in the drinking bird, the liquid doesn't go to the head. The gas does. And so does the head need to be round like the body, or could it be the cooling coil of an air conditioner? I mean, think about it. It's a heat engine.
Yeah.
We need to see what it is. Drink your coffee and use your cup to bail. If you've got your cup, plug the hole. If you got oars, row. If you're holding the tiller, point it toward land and away from the cliff. Okay? Sure. I mean, come on, people. I'm going to
take it off the couch and put it in the pot.
I'm going to make this video. I'm going to put it on YouTube. I'm going to show people this 9 foot drinking bird that does not work, but yet it does sometimes.
Well, I can't wait to see it, and I'll help promote it because I believe in it, man. You know, this been an amazing conversation. I'm telling you what, I just you know, I see the potential in this world. I'm not ready to lay down and give up. You know, once the World War III actually begins, that's the end game. You know. It's Katie bar the door, the last man standing, I guess, whatever, you know. But the fact of the matter is, guys and gals out there, we're on the outside. You know, these folks, they got their own bunkers, they got their own supplies, their own militaries, all this kind of stuff. They got everything they need because they believe that they could actually survive such a cataclysmic war such as World War III. You know, if it goes nuclear from all different points of the globe. But when it's all said and done, you're outside with the mushroom cloud. They're down inside the side of a mountain or whatever, you know. That ought to be a red flag to say that they don't really care too much about you, you know. They'll use you to do some work, you know, pay you some money to come in and hang some drywall or something like that. But when it's all said and done, are they going to have your back? Are they going to say, hey, you know, we're getting ready to go to war. You might want to come inside this mountain, you know. I don't see it happening like that. What do you guys think?
Just like mushroom.
Yeah.
Keep them in the dark and feed them bullcrap.
Yeah, and if we're all loading, if we're all glowing in the dark when it's all over with and standing around in a post-apocalyptic ash, you know, then we're going to like sit there and say, you know what, back there when they were talking about that on the Knights of the Round Table, maybe we probably should have just emptied out that last bit of coffee and started bailing.
Cause, I'm going to tell you this right now. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of people, that think they can't do anything.
Well, they can.
And they can't by themselves, but...
No, I'm saying they can. I'm agreeing with you. They can do something.
Exactly. They can. But they think they can. But they can. They just don't do it. Drink your daggone coffee and bail.
Well, you want to make this world a better place, and if you're listening in on there, you heard me talk about these little small YouTube channels. If you're a YouTuber and you hang out on YouTube, you go find them small channels with people with brilliant research, and you pass their information around. Pass it to us. We'll pass it around and help those guys, you know? Help them get the resources they need to further the research, you know, because it's all going to benefit humanity at the end whenever we all get together and finally figure this mess out and put some sort of free energy device out there, or alternative clean or green energy, whatever you want to call it, anything that takes the chains of bondage off of the people of the world. From underneath the thumb of the corporations that basically fatten their wallet while you know, emptying yours, you know, we can do this thing. And it's not about going to the EPA and all the different governments of the world and saying, "Please, sir, can I have some mole?" You know, it's about just do it. You know, plant your gardens, put your solar panels up, put your wind turbines up. What are they going to do? Do they have the resources to go around and yank everybody's wind turbine down? You know, seriously? We outnumber them. There's, what, 7 billion people on the planet? There's 320 million just in the United States alone. If 320 million people decide they're not going to beg for permission from the slave master to let us do what we know is right, such as cleaning up our own creeks and waterways and our land, and, you know, doing things in harmony with nature as opposed to the way that the corporations go into other countries and just devastate their environments and their economies and their people. You know, I don't want to see nothing bad happen to Mexico and the people that live there, or any other nation for that matter. You know, It to me, common sense has to begin to rule the day. Common sense has to stand up and say, hey, you know what, like that guy on that TV show, so go to the window and shout, you know, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. We need the world to stand up and say, we're mad as hell, we're not going to take it anymore. And I'm not talking about going out there rioting and looting and pillaging and all the craziness. That's counterproductive. If you stand up next to a bunch of thugs with guns and the government, you're going to get beat up, you're going to get thrown in jail and demonized. They're going to make you look like you're insane. But if you stand up with wisdom And you point out to your neighbors, we don't even have to feed this beast over there. He'll get skinny after a while. We'll just start working towards making this a better place. And when their system falls out from underneath them, we'll just sweep it off into the dumpster where it belongs, and we'll just move on as humanity. And when that is seen, that the people actually have that power, when you realize that something simple as a word coming out of your mouth can uplift a spirit to the highest points of heaven, then you know your true power. You know what God meant whenever he said he created you in his own image. That's the way to do it. And you use that, what you got, your words, your actions, and get out there, post some links, post some good information out there. We don't got to fear everybody into everything. We just need to lead by example, you know. If they look over and they say, well, look at there, Raymond, he sure is a nice guy. He's doing a lot of good stuff for people. I wonder what that's all about. He'll go ask Raymond, and Raymond will tell him why he's doing what he's doing. And then Raymond hadn't fear-mongered nobody into believing what he believed. He just stood upon what he believed, and he built on that belief, and people followed. That's true leadership as far as I'm concerned. What do you guys say?
The thing is, I want to live after I'm dead. And the only way I can do that is if people remember me. And I don't want them to remember me as Hitler, Mussolini, or Genghis Khan. I want them to remember me with a smile on their face. I want to do something that when I'm not here, people will say, wow, Raymond Head started this.
Yeah, a founder of one of the stepping stones that paved into the future of humanity, and our children looking back, our future children looking back and saying, wow, thanks.
And thanks, Raymond, watch YouTube, and a man took a little tiny 6-inch long drinking plastic bird with a liquid in it and made electricity. So Raymond Head made a 9-foot one, and it didn't work. Okay, so Raymond Head built a 9-foot one, and it didn't work. So I'm not saying Buddy, I'm not saying Jesus, Justin, or Barry, but somebody looked at my 9-foot one and said, well, it didn't work, but why? The little one worked, why did the big one? And like Jesus said, well, maybe it was made of the wrong material, ceramic, plastic, PVC, oh my God, I used water. So Jesus said, water? And, well, yes, but I took R 134A and put it on top of the water so that it would expand with heat and push down on the water and go up the pipe and throw it off balance and make it fall. I drank my cup of coffee, now I'm bailing. What I want somebody else to do is drink their coffee and bail, or if you don't have coffee, grab hold of an oar and row.
Yep.
Maybe you got too much water as weight.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking.
Or it takes longer for it to heat up and cool off, too.
While he was explaining that, I was just sitting here trying to think of what kind of gases that water would actually be able to float on when the gas got heated up and expanded.
All right, let me explain something. The reason I used water is it's non-combustible. The reason I used R-134A is that it is non-combustible, and it's lighter than water and heavier than air, and it has extremely extreme expansion.
Cool.
With pressure. Okay, it's not possible. Therefore, I can build a fire under this thing. I can burn trash, things that we normally throw in the garbage that will burn. We could burn it in our backyards and make this thing work. I did that. That's how it did work.
Well, I like anything that has to do with repurposing and recycling, because there's so much waste out there.
Exactly. That's one of my point is, we're throwing stuff away in landfills. The landfill is, the people that own the landfill are charging us money to take our trash. They are turning it into gas. They're burning the gas, boiling water, making steam, making electricity, and putting it in the grid and selling our own trash back to us.
Yeah, and if you can make money off of trash, that is ingenuity.
Hey, but can we let say, hey, charge us. You pay them to take your trash, turn it into electricity, and sell it back to you. Now, is there any business in the entire world better than that people bring you your material and pay you to take it? Then you take that material, turn it into a product that the same people turn right around and pay you for. I mean, come on! Come on! There's no such thing as free energy. Come on, people. There's no such thing as energy that is not free.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say, is the fact that there is not only free energy, but there's profitable free energy, because they're buying your trash and selling your trash. They recycle it and take the metals to the junkyard.
They're washing out for the people around you. Profit is a good thing.
Well, I don't see nothing wrong with profit. I mean, heck, somebody should design a trash compactor that will separate all the plastic from the metals, from the liquids, and so on and so forth, and basically use all the separated components to build other things, you know?
Exactly. Now, separate the metals and the trash and blah, blah, blah. And we discussed this once before. In a paper mill, I've done remodeling of paper mills many times in my life. I'm 70 years old. I've been in construction work for 51 years, 51 and a half. Anyway, in a paper mill, they chop the wood up in little bitty pieces. They run over a conveyor belt. Why? Work's going. But in doing so, they have two magnets, one above the conveyor, so that all the ferrous metals that are attracted by magnets jump off the belt to the magnet. Then they have another one that is below the belt, because all the non-ferrous metals are repulsed by a magnet.
Yep.
So they come off the belt. The only thing left is the organic stuff, which you make... I mean, come on, people.
And there you go, man. That's just a simple, that's just such a simple solution using basic science that, you know, if a person can figure that kind of stuff out, you could only imagine what we are capable of doing if we actually use some common sense.
Exactly. I mean, hey, we built the Hoover Dam, the Eiffel Tower. I mean, they're building a dam in China right now that is absolutely the largest physical construction project that has ever been undertaken by man. Why can't we do other things even simpler and smaller, but many times over?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Every time I get on the Knights of the Round Table, and, you know, I might start off without some sort of hope. I'm kind of thinking that it's all just so far beyond, and I listen to all the brilliant ideas and stuff like that. It just reaffirms that I believe in people and their capabilities. I believe that this world is capable of doing some wonderful things. And so, if anything at all, this has been a lighthouse to me, you know, out in from the stormy seas out there riding around in the world, you know, and I look over there and there's that lighthouse of hope, and this is to me a valuable resource for me personally, just to be able to look out there and see, hey, there's that lighthouse out there. It's not over yet, you know. There's no sense in burying your head in the sand. There's still hope. It's not a done deal, you know. So until the apocalypse shows up, until doomsday is hitting us all directly in the face, you know, we're not out here to try to scare the crud out of people. We're just trying to get that bit of common sense that we know lies within all the individuals of this world and tell them their true potential and their true power to do something about something, you know. No house gets cleaned until somebody picks up a broom. And I think that's what we're trying to do. Maybe we're like the motivational speakers. I don't know. But whatever it takes, if it takes sitting there shouting it over and over and over, or trying to talk calmly to the world, whatever it takes to steer this boat away from the cliff, that it's, you know, going over the falls in the barrel hasn't been very successful for many people who've given it a shot, you know. They didn't fare so well when they hit the bottom because their science was kind of flawed. They didn't factor in certain things, Mike, but maybe the wind blowing them over onto the jagged rocks or whatever. And so they made it illegal for people to go over the falls in the barrel because people were dropping like flies trying to go over the falls in the barrel. For some reason, they thought that was a good idea. Hey, I got an idea. Let's go over the falls in the barrel, you know? Make a YouTube video about it.
Right, so that everybody could see where the problem was.
Yeah, everybody could see what not to do.
Falls in the barrel.
I think that there is hope. I mean, I know, like I said, I know the story, and I believe the story. I believe that because I can see it. I mean, you can look at the news and you can see it, but still, that little crazy side of me that just wants to hold out, you know. I just don't want to see what we've got just shredded, you know. Even though I'm watching it before my very eyes, this world is in a grinder right now as we speak. It's being tore up. There's toxic stuff going into waters. There's damage being done, you know, that nature's going to have to do some serious work to try to clean up after our mess. But Raymond, you talked about that 500 years after man deal, and it's amazing what this world would look like if man wasn't on this world. And so I'm a firm believer that nature can clean it up. It just, do we have time to wait around until nature gets done, or shouldn't we be in there pitching in to help nature get this done?
If we don't pitch in, nature will clean it up.
Oh yeah, you know, with us too.
We will kill ourselves.
Nature will throw the baby out with the bathwater and start over.
Exactly. So everybody, drink your coffee and start bailing.
Yeah, and pick up a rag or something and a broom and help old Mother Nature clean this mess up. We made it, you know.
I'm glad you said pick up a rag, because if you're not drinking coffee, but you got a shirt, yank your shirt off and sop up some water and wring it out outside the boat.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you got to do something. You can't just sit there and listen to this show and think, no, that's no good. Well, no, it's not if you don't do something. Each and every person on this entire earth, if you pick up just one piece of trash every hour, do you realize that in 3 days there would be no trash?
And here's a simple concept. If you hand a starving baby some food, then the baby gets fed, you know?
Yes, exactly.
This is how you can do something, you know. Don't give your money off to some charity you know nothing about without doing some research and knowing that they got good works. Go do it yourself. If you're in the neighborhood and there's a homeless guy over there that needs a shirt, you know, go down to the thrift store and buy him a decent shirt and take it over and give it to him.
Exactly. Don't give your money to charitable organizations that you know nothing about, because at least, minimum, 80% of all charitable organizations take your money and disperse it among those that started the organization and never reaches the people it was intended to go to.
Yeah, and when they say at least 80% of all your dollar goes to this whatever, you know, that's, you know, that should be a red flag. 100% of that dollar. In the media out there who are charging charitable organizations thousands of dollars for advertisement spots on there should be flat out ashamed of themselves. You know, if you're going to donate to a charity or not donate to a charity, but you own a mainstream media outlet, you should be donating your airtime to this charity when you know for a fact that this charity is going to give 100% of what they get money coming in to fix the problems of the world.
Exactly.
It don't take no 30 years to solve starvation. It doesn't. Raymond, I'm 49 years old, and I can remember these commercials when I was a child.
Yes, yes. I'm 70 years old, and I remember when I was a teenager, some of the videos they're showing today of feed the hungry children of the world. This kid, it's showing this little kid, and it's got flies all over its face.
Yeah.
And feed the hungry children of the world. I mean, come on, people. Give me a break.
You know,
that kid died 10 minutes after the video, but they're still showing it 60 years later. Come on. Nobody fed the kid.
The governments of this world.
Sally Struthers, with her quiety little voice and her beautiful face and that gorgeous blonde hair, and the quiety voice, feed the hungry children of the world. And she's holding this kid in her arms. And just all it needs is the cost of a cup of coffee a day, and you can save this child's life. Well, the child died 2 hours later, and Sally Struthers was in a restaurant eating a ribeye steak that was paid for by the people that donated money. Come on, give me a break.
Well, and there's another thing. You know that most of these celebrities out there have millions of dollars in the bank. And if I was a celebrity and I had millions of dollars in the bank and I was standing there doing a commercial like that, I would feel so ashamed of myself that it wouldn't be funny. I would donate every red cent I had and sell whatever I had to resolve the situation if I seen these children in that kind of jeopardy. That's what a good person would do.
You and I differ. I would not donate a dime. I would go to that country and I would give the people what they need.
Well, that's basically what I'm saying. I mean, I would be on the job, so to speak. If I got a bank account that's so fat that I can't spend it the rest of my life, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching these children die of starvation and sickness, I'm going to be there with my check, and I'm going to be like telling these guys that, look, here's a grocery list. You go get this food over here and hire some cooks or something to do this. Meantime, let's build some houses over here as well. You know, I would run myself into poor status because that's the kind of person I am. I wouldn't want to sit by and watch this suffer, and I couldn't go sit there and have the ribeye steak after watching this, you know?
The thing is, that's exactly what you're doing right now. You make good money, but what are you doing? You're paying for this radio show. You're paying for servers. You're doing this. You are donating, but you're putting it in where you want it to go.
Well, that's what everybody needs to do. They need to focus their resources towards the actual need itself, you know. We got connections with the world, you know. I can't necessarily help the people in Arizona or Texas because I'm not there. But I got friends in that general area who have capabilities of, you know, if I send them resources, they can get them over to them, you know. It's about that whole networking thing, us helping each other and the world out, you know. To me, it's just basic common sense.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we do what we can do with what we got. And if all we got's a piece of chewing gum and the boat has a hole in it, my God, take that chewing gum out of your mouth and plug that hole.
Exactly. Or if you don't have chewing gum, but you got a cup of coffee, drink the last drop quick and start paling.
Stick your finger down there and hold on to the until we find something.
Outside. I mean, come on, people. Get off your dead duck. Get off the couch. Do something. I don't care how small it is. The smallest thing will help. The smallest thing. If everybody on this earth did one little tiny, teeny tiny thing, but we're talking 7 billion people, so 7 billion little teeny tiny things all of a sudden becomes something really big. Really big. And you were a part of it.
Yep, that one smile that came off of your face, if you could only follow that smile around for one day, if you could follow that smile from one face to the next, you would be surprised at how many lives that you literally affected just by that one smile.
Yep.
It would be amazing to be able to follow it around. You know, you smile, you step outside yourself, and you just follow that smile everywhere it goes. And even if it drops off after 5 or 6 people, there's 5 or 6 more people that smile that otherwise may not have smiled because they're either having a bad day or life stinks. You know? But the truth of the matter is, you're probably going to find that smile somewhere in a foreign nation that had nothing to do. You know, there's a guy you smiled at, smiled at a gal who smiled at another guy who smiled at somebody else and who got on a plane who flew over to a foreign nation and smiled over there. And it just kept on going. That, to me, is the power of love, man.
Yes. So everybody in the entire world just does one little teeny tiny thing positive. And it will grow. It will grow.
Well, and that's what I believe in. That's why I still say I believe in the dream. I'm not willing to lay down and give up. As long as I got a breath in my body, you know, as long as I got to be here during the trials and tribulations or the apocalypse even, whatever, I'm going to try to do the best I can for whoever I can in the process. And I know that my book says nobody gets into heaven by works alone. I understand that. But I'm regardless of whether there's a reward at the end or not, in my heart, it's the right thing to do to take care of my brothers and sisters around the globe. And even if that means only I'm sitting here talking common sense and posting links and building a website and running servers and that kind of stuff like that, if I can do anything, put a video out there that makes them laugh or something that benefits them in any form or fashion, that's as simple as me, something that I feel like personally I owe the world. I owe the people who laid down the stones that gave me the option to live in the luxury that I live in, my own personal life, you know, that let my family live free. And, you know, I feel like that is a debt that I can never repay unless I continue that gift that they gave me. And give it to my children and your children and so on and so forth. You know, if that makes me crazy, I'm just going to have to be crazy because in my heart it feels right. Did I lose you guys? Uh-oh.
No, you didn't lose us. I just turned my mic off so I could make a cup of coffee.
Oh, well, get your coffee, man. Maybe we should take a quick music break and everybody freshen up their minds and, you know, get them a donut or something like that. Anyway, folks out there, we're going to go ahead and take a quick music break. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. If you believe in what it is we're doing, call up some of your friends and bring them on over here, you know. They can listen in over on Awake Radio or No Borders or Tina Saar Radio or Scotty Sovereigns on the Land or 1800 Online and so on and so forth. There's just a bunch of networks out there of awesome people, and they believe in the dream as well. That's why they do what they do, you know. There ain't nothing selfish about trying to put yourself out there to the world on behalf of
the family.
For your family. That's right, buddy. Alright, well, we're going to take a quick music break and get some coffee, if that's alright with everybody.
is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Time.
everybody. We're back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Off air, we were having a bit of a discussion about some vaccine stuff that's been going on in the world. Barry's been trying to tell people about it forever and a day, and just seems like when you finally about ready to give up on trying to tell people, then they finally see something that they get. And to me, that's what we've been trying to point out to everybody, you know, consistency in what we do here at the Knights of the Round Table is really important. And sometimes we repeat things that we've had to say in the past because it's such pertinent information that could either benefit somebody or warn them of something that's coming down the pipe, that you know, we're doing what we can. And Barry, you want to tell people what you was telling me about you know, your sister and all?
Well, I was sharing thoughts with you guys off the air about a conversation I had with my sister. She called me during the course of the show here about half an hour ago. For a couple of years now, I've been sharing information with my family about the dangers of vaccines and the what exactly was going on behind the scenes. And, you know, she really hasn't sat down and looked at it until a couple of nights ago. She sat down and spent 3 hours studying links, and then she started following other links, and then she started getting interested. She followed other links, and she's come up with the same conclusion that I have now, that this is a sham, that it is all about the money. And I've actually, I see my sister waking up right now. When people start to realize that this corruption exists in our medical industry, it really starts you to question everything else that's going on in our world. And any mechanism we can use in our world to wake people up in any shape or form, send them inevitably on a journey of discovery. And that's what I believe my sister's on right now. And I just say, praise God. And I thank you for opening her eyes.
Well, my bit of advice for you, brother, because we all know we've been down that rabbit hole before, is to support your sister along the way and let her know, look, hey, don't panic. We know things are bad, but they really are. Yeah. Try to keep her from going.
There's not a journey of discovery. Shazoo is going to get knocked off their feet because some of the stuff that you find out when you really start going down the rabbit hole begs your brain. You cannot even begin to wrap your mind around it. I still, to this day, can't wrap my mind around some of the things that are going on this planet right now. But we know they're real. We know all the stuff is going on. We know there's so much evil going on in this planet right now. It begs description. But, you know, what's going to happen to anybody? And my son experienced the same thing. As soon as he started going down the rabbit hole, he was getting mad. He was starting to go, wow, you know, this is absolute crap. This is bull. And then that, you know, of course, that turns to fear. Well, you know, fear is the biggest weapon they use against us, guys.
Yeah.
It is the most influential tool in their toolbox. And how we see it implementing and changing our world right now is something we have to identify and stand up and say, hey, you don't scare me. Everybody's scared. People are scared to go to their houses now. People are scared of the police, scared of the government. Well, this is all done by design, guys.
Well, we need to turn that fear into action. You know, use that focus, that fear, to do something constructive as opposed to destructive. You know, self-destruction is the easiest thing to happen to you, especially whenever you first start finding out all the information that we've all been talking about for all these years. You know, because first they looked at us like we were nuts. You know, they lived in this bubble away from, you know, what's going on, and they weren't you know, aware that anything was even happening. And that's what I feel like a lot of the people out there are going through. They don't even have a clue what's going on. They couldn't even tell you what the vice president's name is or stuff like that, you know. And so when they first find out that this is something, and something kicks a trigger in their head to say, wait a second, that ain't right, and they start looking knee deeper into it, the deeper they look, the more insanity they find. But the fact that, you know, your sister has actually seen something that now, hey, wait a second, I need to take a second look at this here, because this ain't right. You know, that's encouraging that your word has not went in vain, you know. They called us all nutcases, tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, and so on and so forth. But in reality, it was really happening. We were just crazy for pointing it out. You know, that's ironic, too, because the mainstream media, who is one of the biggest propagandizing, pumping, fear-monger organizations, government-run, or however you want to say it, for profit, the fact is, they'll sit there and tell you there's a boogeyman behind every single bush, And then whenever you spot the boogeyman and try to talk about the boogeyman, now you're a nut for saying it. Before, you were just being informed by them on what to think, to be afraid. But once you weren't afraid anymore, you were angry and started pointing it out. Hey, look, there's the doggone boogeyman over there behind the bush. You know? Now you're a nut.
Black suit with a red tie and a white shirt.
Yeah, the bow tie killer off of Pee Wee Herman. Remember him?
Talking about vaccines and flu shots and that kind of thing. Was it 1958 or 1968? I know it was eight. It was 58 to 68 that they came out with the swine flu vaccine.
You know, there was a point in history, and it is documented. I couldn't quote exactly when it was, but the polio vaccine gave a whole lot of people polio.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. The swine flu vaccine, when it first came out, I don't know what it's doing today, when it first came out, the vaccine killed 16 times more people than the actual swine flu killed. In that 1 year, the vaccine killed 16 times more people than the flu killed.
Well, of course, you can only get that point. I read that same report, and the only way you could actually get the swine flu was by taking the vaccine.
Exactly.
I mean, just look at the numbers of children that died from measles, mumps, rubella in the United States last year from the disease, and look how many children were killed by vaccines last year in the United States of America. Approximately 2,000 by the government's own admission. 2,000 children died, and yet the numbers of children dying from the diseases, it's minuscule. So what really is going on, folks? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out.
Money.
But still have to look at the information, Raymond. And that's all we can do. If you think that by talking to your friends and neighbors every day that they're just turning their backs on you and not listening, well, maybe they give you that impression. But you know what you're doing? You're planting a little seed in their brain. And do not ever take your foot off the pedal. Every time you get a chance, you share this information. If people turn their back, don't worry about it. Share it again. And you are planting little seeds. My sister's hardcore down the mainstream establishment type of world. And all of a sudden, she's being shocked. She is absolutely being shocked because all of a sudden her whole world is turning upside down. Well, we don't want to put fear into people. I'm not here to try and make anybody scared. But what we are facing right now is a situation on this planet that, like you said, Raymond, if we don't get busy, if we don't stand up to this, then we are going to lose our window of opportunity. We are seeing an incredible clampdown on freedoms around this world. We see bills being passed by the United Nations that should never affect our freedoms, but they are. We see the radicalization of Islam coming into the United States of America in waves. We see the complete breakdown of our systems. We see the divisions that have been put into our society in the last 50, 60 years. Where has the American spirit gone? This information is out there, yet people refuse to identify and do anything about it.
Can I interrupt you for a second, Deb?
Go ahead.
One of the things that I'd like to point out is so simple that it's just ludicrous is that, you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff and people look at us with a cross eye at first, all you got to do is to simply listen to the words of the wealthy folks out there that say things like Microsoft, Bill Gates, sitting there talking about if we do a good job, we can shorten the population via vaccines. He said that. I mean, those words out of his mouth, and whether he really seriously literally meant that, the fact is that he said it, you know, and what kind of mindset would say that through, if we do a good job with vaccines, we can reduce the population of the earth, you know, and then you've got other individuals who put stones up, like the Georgia Guidestones that literally have a number on there. I can't even remember, was it 500 million or whatever, they want to reduce the world's population to so that everybody can live in harmony. They said it. They put it in stone. And
they wrote it in stone.
Yeah, and then do you have other organizations out there talking about how you need to go live in a tiny house and everybody needs to gather in these groups and everything and let nature alone and leave nature alone and all that kind of stuff, move everybody out of the country into the city in these compacted areas? What do you think's going to occur when you're in a compacted area and you get a hold of a bad vaccine that's supposedly going to prevent you from getting a disease and you're in that compacted area? What do you think's going to occur? Do you think these individuals aren't smart enough to know that if you're compacted, crammed into a tight city with a whole bunch of people and a disease breaks out, that you're not going to go down with the crowd? I mean, common sense, man.
Why is it the United Nations can spend the dollars on vaccinations for third world countries and their children are starving to death? You got money for vaccines, but you haven't got money for food. Well, what does that tell you, folks?
Come on.
Nobody's on the wall. I mean, these children are starving to death. They don't have money for food for them, but they got money for vaccines. I mean, anybody that really, really starts to look into it, it'll bring rage into your mind and into your soul that I can't even begin to describe what's going on with this vaccination.
Well, if they fed them children, they'd have nutrients to build up their immune systems, and then later if they could get the vaccines to them, that if they were really good vaccines and wasn't the trash that we've been exposed to, you know?
Well, what did society do 200 years ago before all the vaccination programs? Before this was ever talked about, our bodies were healthy. We fought off diseases. If we got measles, they went away in a week. We got this, it went away in a week. Where were even these childhood diseases 200 years ago? Those are really hardcore questions people have to ask.
Well, I'll tell you one thing's for sure. The settlers and the Native American Indians had found out ways by which to cure things with things in nature. You know, did anybody know you could drink dandelion tea? Or did anybody know that you could use certain greenery to make you feel better? Or, you know, plants that would cure a rash?
Hey, dandelion tea, Bushes is. Dandelion tea. What about goldenrod tea? Come on. Back 200 years ago, whenever the colonists first came to the United States, they found that goldenrod, the plant that we now spend $3 billion a year in herbicides to get rid of, is tea. And all of a sudden, the tea people, the tea traders, oh, wow. To do this. Okay, so we'll get plows and textiles and things that the colonists in the Americas don't have. So we'll take it over there and we'll trade it for goldenrod tea. Why do they want goldenrod tea? Because they can take it to China and trade the goldenrod tea for Chinese tea and take it back to England and sell it to the English people that were stupid. And not stupid, ignorant. Stupid is cannot learn. Ignorant is does not know.
Yeah, when you talk about stuff like that, and I'm thinking about like the mushrooms that people have been talking about, the chaga mushrooms and whatever, and then you hear other people saying you can't send it from one country to the next or one state to the next or whatever because it's illegal. You know, I kind of like, wait a second, hold on, you know. If there is a potential cure out there for anything, you know, such as diabetes, for example, you know, and it has a potential of curing you, or you can either do that or you can go to your local doctor and you can get a medicine that on that medicine literally says, you know, possible side effects, blah, 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 not excluding death, or you could have a heart attack. Man, I'd rather chew on that mushroom than risk a heart attack. You know what I'm saying? Which one ought to be illegal? The one that says that you have a potential of death or the one that came up out of nature? That's what I'm trying to ask. And the guys out there that are talking about hemp and you know, and that deal. All right, well, okay, so you got some wacky weed that might make you feel a little funny on one side right there that people are using for medicinal purposes for cancers and pain and all that. And on the other hand, you have what doctors have to offer. Chemotherapy, your hair falls out, you're nauseated, you're sick to your stomach, your immune system's destroyed, and you're probably going to die anyway. It's just going to be a little bit longer, and you're going to be in misery through the entire deal. Which side of this spectrum is wrong when one comes out of nature, the other one comes out of some mad science lab, one's making you sicker than heck, the other one, you know... You see what I'm saying? It's ludicrous.
Of course it is. But it's all happened in the last 150 years since the start of the pharmaceutical industry, shouldn't it? I mean, it really, people have to study history. People have to look back at what things were, how we dealt with issues in the past, and how things are now. It really is a travesty in our society that everything that's good in the world is condemned by our government. Everything bad in the world is promoted by our government.
One other point on that. Right after you get through seeing this commercial of a drug and the possible side effects, and ask your doctor whether or not you're healthy enough for sex or so on and so forth. All right. Well, right after that commercial comes on another commercial of an attorney saying, well, if you've taken this or that or whatever, then you may have money coming to you because there's a lawsuit out against. See, these corporations are nuts. They don't care whether or not they get sued because they're making so much money off of everybody who's foolish enough to try their medicine and dropping like flies. So they'll pay a few bucks here and there just so that they can continue to make their millions. But it ought to be a red flag when you're watching one commercial about how to cure toe fungus, but you're going to die, possibly, you know, maybe your lung will fall out the left side of your ear or something in the process, but that's just a possible side effect, and stop taking the medicine if it does so. But then here comes the attorneys after that one saying that the one that you heard about beforehand, you can sue them, you know.
Really?
What should be illegal? The mushroom or the drug?
How large is the world?
Huh?
Very, very large. How many people live here? And of all the lawyers in the entire world, 65% of all of them live in the United States. Why? This is the first suit happening country in the entire world. Check it out, people. Check it out. Read the ads. Read your emails. If your best girlfriend in high school, I don't care how old you are now, but your girlfriend in high school, brother, had a best friend whose uncle worked for the railroad, you may be entitled to money.
Yeah, listen to this. This is you want to talk about gaming the system? Check this out. What if the same corporation who sells you the drug that's going to make them a whole lot of money but could potentially cause you to die is the same one connected with the same attorney that's going around suing everybody? So when he does sue, he gets his cut, which goes back into the same corporation under that umbrella. And so they're like, they'll make you sick, get you to give you a few bucks, and then pass the money back around. The money just kind of funnels around in a circle and drops back in the same wallet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that company that made the drug owns the railroad.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same company does all the studies on the drugs they release. You know, guys, that there's never, ever been a controlled study on any vaccination proving its effectiveness. Did you know that? That is a fact. That's a fact, Raymond. There's never been a controlled study by independent sources on any vaccination put out by the pharmaceutical industry on the effectiveness of that vaccine. What does that tell you? The people that are studying are the people that are making it. The people that control the CDC are tied in with the pharmaceutical companies, are tied in with the FAA, are the same people that are related to the people that are running Monsanto. It is a vicious circle. And all you have to do is look into one corner of that circle, follow the money, and you'll find out what we're telling you is absolutely true.
Yep. And all they got to do is drop a few pennies in the right pockets around that circle, and everything goes smooth for them. They don't have no problem. They don't care that you're going to hire an attorney and go sue them, because chances are they'll go in that attorney's office and say, you know what, I will give you this amount of money more than what he's going to give you, just to ensure that if he does win, he doesn't get much.
There's no, you said, what? How did you word it? There's no study. What about salt and your blood pressure? For 15 years, doctors, drugs, people were all over high blood pressure, blah, blah, blah. Don't eat salt, it causes high blood pressure. For 40 years, ignorant, not stupid, ignorant, non-knowledgeable people listened to advertising, they listened to doctors, and they took blood pressure medicines and did not eat salt. They ate bland, blasted food with no salt. After 3 years, the biggest and most famous, most read medical magazine, after 40 years, said, oh, over a 40-year period, we have studied the effects of salt and blood pressure, and salt has no effect whatsoever on the human's blood pressure. Well,
chemistry system of the body, how much cholesterol is in the brain? Well, they're talking about, you know, giving you this Lipitor to get rid of your cholesterol. Hey, I'm down with Lipitor, you know? Yeah, you'll be down all right. Down a few IQ points.
This has less bleeding than Lexacar or Apothor or whatever. It's just a joke, man. Yeah. And what you're saying, Raymond, salt is the most important, one of the most important elements in our body. But what we don't want to put in our body is refined sodium that you get at the store under the sign of white salt. That stuff contains chemicals. Naturally occurring sea salt is one of the most vital things that you can put into your body, buddy. And I put it in my body every day. I got away from refined sugars, anything refined. I do not touch in my diet anymore. Margarine has gone out of my house years ago. Salt, sugar, all out of my house now. I use everything that I can get my hands on that is not been refined by man. When you change those in your diet alone, you'll see amazing changes in your body, buddy. You will.
Yeah. And there's two things you look at. The hemoglobin. The hemoglobin that makes the leaves green is only one molecule different than the hemoglobin in our blood. But the chemical composition of our blood, if you look at seawater, it is the closest thing on Earth to the chemical composition of our blood.
There's a brilliant conversation going on in the chat room between Stone Lee and Stephen Gibbons, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to read the whole thing, but pretty much Stephen was talking about his simple rule of thumb: if it's advertised on TV, avoid it.
Try to turn the commercial off.
Yeah, if the news is talking about it, if the news says do one thing, do the opposite. If the commercial says buy this, don't touch it. Oh, man.
So true.
Yeah, that's brilliant, man. I tell you what, this world that we live in is so upside down.
I've said several times, my video, I want help. Don't send money. I don't want your money. I want your help. Either send me a suggestion, send me something I can use to prove my inventions. I don't invent anything. Just take what's already there and let's improve it. I want help. I don't want your damn money.
Hey, you know what you're saying there, Raymond, reminds me of a brilliant story. Does anybody remember the story about Stone Soup?
Yeah, I brought that up on the show once.
Yeah, that
traveling salesman in the Stone Soup. Yep.
That story, you know, was I'm echoing, echo. That story, somebody shut me off on there. Thanks. That story was a brilliant idea that is basically self-explanatory when you get to thinking about it, but it's also what we're trying to do here, you know. We bring a stone and we throw it in the water, and every time somebody comes along and we ask us what we're doing, we're like, hey, we're making soup. You know, what kind of soup? I'm making stone soup, you know, and they... Yeah, you want a taste? And you give them a taste of it, and they're like, well, you know, that's they don't want to be rude or nothing. And I said, that's not, it's missing something. And they throw a pinch of salt in there for you, you know. And the next guy, so on and so forth, before it's all said and done, when it's time to eat, the guy says his prayer and blessing over the food, and then reaches in, throws the stone out, and everybody has a stew, you know. That's, you know, that's what I'm talking about. What do you guys think?
I think that's great. Everybody needs to pitch in and do something. That's why I say I don't want contributions in money. I want contributions in ideas. But if you don't have an idea, but maybe you've got something I can use. Well, yeah. That's an idea, but you have something.
If you're going to roll it off in the dump anyway, send it to somebody who can use it.
Exactly. Hey, check me out. I have a lot of people that come here on my property, and they look around, and if it's a woman, I'm not sexist, okay? If it's a woman, she says, my God, this place is a junkyard. If it's a man, he says, holy cow, a gold mine!
Yeah. One man's junk is another man's treasure, but
I died and went to heaven.
In woman's world, it's like, clean that mess up, it's an eyesore.
right. But to me, the woman once said, back years ago, I lived in North Carolina, and to a county or city council meeting, and the lady said, we need to do something about all these pig farmers. That stinks. Farmer stood up and said, ma'am, that smells like money to me.
Yeah.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. Give me a drink. Come on. I've got 20 tons of steel. I have no idea what to do with it, but it's steel. It's ivy.
Well, I got an idea what you can do with it. Build an ark for the apocalypse, and if all the ice caps melt like they're talking about, you float that over and pick up money, and on your way through, come by and pick up the rest of us, and we'll float around until the water goes down again and build a new world. What do you think?
all I can say is, oh,
yeah.
Look around. All you can possibly think is, Sanford and Son, eat your heart out.
Yeah, well, that's my kind of world, because, you know, every time I'm looking for something, you know, there's been a lot of times that, you know, I got friends that's in the salvage business that, you know, they're always looking for scrap iron, and I'm trying to clean up my property, so I'll give it away to them. And then later on, I'll need a piece of pipe that I knew I had, but I couldn't remember what I did with it. I look all over them, and it finally dawned on me that I gave it to the last scrapper that came through. You never know what you're going to need until you need it, you know. And when you're looking for it, you can't find it. But whenever you don't want it, you're tripping all over it. So
come on. Everybody knows I own a small construction company, right? We do a lot of demolition work. We put strip centers. We rip it all out, and then we build it back for the new tenant. Well, I had these 2x4 lay-in lights that go to the ceilings, and for years, I'd take them to the dump. The dump wouldn't take them unless I spent money on labor to take the ballast out, because the ballast is full of oil. All right? Okay, so I spend that money to take the ballast out. And take to the dump. Well, if I spent a little bit more money and took the plastic ends that hold the bulbs in and the plastic lens out, well, the dump would take that. So now all of a sudden I have this metal So I took it to the scrapyard. Well, okay, I got a little bit of money back, so it didn't cost me as much money for the labor to take the stuff out, and I also, you know, didn't have to pay the dump to take the light. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this is a perfectly good light. So I said, well, wait a minute, we'll stack them up here, and when I get a bunch of them, I'll put them on Craigslist. Free lights. And nobody on them.
Man, I wish I'd have known. I'd have got some.
Wait a minute. Here's the ironic part. I put them on Craigslist for $2. And next thing I know, there was 5 or 6 people on them.
That's...
I almost, and I said, well, you know, if 5 or 6 people want for $2, maybe I want to ask more. So I put it on for $5, and now I've got 20 people calling me, I'll take every light you get. Come on, people, I don't want your damn money.
He was trying to give it away, but he could sell it, but he couldn't give it away. Where's the common sense in that?
Give me a break. Drink your coffee and bail.
Now, I think the word free probably give it a, what's the word, a taboo effect to it, to where, you know, if it's free, it must be trash, you know? Oh, man.
He wanted 20 lights for $5 a piece. That's $100, and I had 22 lights. So he loaded the 20 up, and I said, well, wait a minute, you got room for these other two. He said, well, I don't have any more money. I said, well, I don't give a shit. Put them on the damn truck. Get them out of here. Come on. Sorry about the French people.
Anyway, it is ironic that, you know, there's so much that there, you know what? We talked about folks that sold trash. We talked about folks that recycle trash and they get money for you to take away their trash. You know, If a dump can make money and become a profitable organization, then the average Joe could do the same thing. I see enough waste just in local communities alone that could be, you know, beneficial. You know,
tell me about the word free being taboo. I have right now 2 boat trailers that I'm trying to sell on Craigslist. On those boat trailers are boats. One is a bass boat, the other one is a speed boat, pleasure boat, and I put in the ad, I'm trying to sell this trailer. It's a boat trailer. It pulls like a dream. Honest to God, I swear to you, I pulled it like 50 miles. When I bought it the trailer because I had a project. Since the time I bought the project, I've had physical issues, to where health issues, where I cannot complete that product. So now I just want to sell the trailer to get my money back. The boat's free. Nobody, so help me, I swear to you, I have more than 50 contacts, or whatever you call it, replies to this ad, and every one of them asks about the boat. And I'm getting really sick and tired of telling them, the boat's free, dummy. Come, it's got a, hey, this one has an inboard motor. There's no outboard, of course. It has an inboard motor. I don't know what it's worth. I don't even know if it works. I don't care. I didn't buy it for the boat. I bought it for the trailer. I'm selling the trailer. The trailer is free. If you want the trailer, it's $500. Now, come get the trailer, give me $500, and pull the trailer off. If you don't want the boat, drop it in the yard, I'll get rid of it. Okay? But if you want the boat, come get it. It's free. I'm getting tired. 50 daggone replies, and people don't freaking read. The ad says, I'm selling the trailer. The boat is free. Come on. Come get the dang on boat.
There's a message I just got over here from Gary over there. It says, why has none of the folks from Georgia or surrounding areas got themselves a big truck to pull those Georgia Guidestones out of the ground? That's a good question, Dad.
Yeah, the funniest thing I could think of is somebody flying one of them radio-controlled blimps over there with some dynamite and blow them down or something.
Yeah, he also said that...
I bet it won't show in the news, though.
He also said, in my opinion, if they are allowed to remain intact and in view, they have the power of spells. Spells are what keep us in this situation, you know. That's why I say just something as simple as the words coming out of their mouth. If you just listen to what they're saying, you know, stuff like, you know, if we're really good at our vaccination program, we can decrease the population of the world, get the population under control. So I don't know about you guys, but when I hear that, that tells me, wait a second, I thought vaccines were there to heal, not kill, you know, make you sterile so you can't have children or something like that. Who elected these individuals out there as God to say that they could say who gets to live, who gets to die, who gets to have children, who not? The words coming out of their mouth are powerful words, just like them stones standing there, like Gary was talking about. You know, as long as they're allowed to stay up there, you just pretty much say, I agree with it, you know. You know, it's on private property. I know people got rights to express their views and stuff like that, but if it's on public property and the public is pretty much protecting this these stones that say we got to drop the population down to 500 million or whatever the number is on there, my question is this, man. If you got to drop the population down to 500 million and there's 7 billion people on the planet, well, what happens to the rest of them, you know? And to me, there's only one answer. You got to do some folks in. You got to vaccinate them to the point where they can't have kids anymore. And suddenly, you know, the population drops down. Who elected these individuals to be God?
I look at it this way, Shaziz. You go by a park that's had a cross in the middle of it for a long time, or a graveyard that's had a big cross on it and an angel and everything like that. And other religions don't like it, but so you have to tear it down because that's not freedom of religion. It's offensive. Well, I tell you what, whatever religion put up the Georgia Guidestones, I find that offensive, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people do.
Well, yeah,
I think they need to take them down. I think we need to petition to take the Georgia Guidestones down.
Yeah, and on behalf of the rest of the people of the world.
Get out there and do something against it. That is offensive to everyone.
Because
if we go down to 500,000, you got a better chance of winning the lottery than you do of surviving their lottery.
They want to ban the American flag from America. You know, what gives them the right to ban the American flag from America? Just like I don't have no right to ban
somebody that came in
Russia's flag from Russia or Mexico's flag from Mexico. You know, it doesn't matter what you think about the flag. The fact of the matter is, America.
I think we ought to ban presidents that are not citizens. Well, they never could have been there.
Buddy, I'm with you 100%.
It's offensive to me.
It is very offensive to me.
It seems to me that not only is there an attack on people's cultures, there's an attack on people's belief systems. You know, you can't have a cross in your yard. You can't have a flag in your yard. You can't... you know, talk about God in public. You can't do this and you can't do that. And the can'ts seem to be piling up against the cans. What can you do anymore that isn't illegal? 99.9% of all the people in the world can't keep up with all the doggone laws that's on the books. Do you know that in Kansas City, Missouri, it is still illegal to this very day to drive a motor vehicle from one side of the road, from one side of Kansas City to the next? You're supposed to get out of your car, put it on a horse drawn or mule or whatever, and drag that car across the other side, and then get in the car and go on down the road. It's still on the books. So the cops are breaking the law, and you're breaking the law. Everyone who's driving through Kansas City from all different countries are breaking the law, but it's still on the books. And, okay, maybe it's there for historical purposes, but the fact of the matter is, how many other laws are out there that you haven't got no clue? you know?
Yeah, like before you drive a horseless carriage, which is a car, through a town, you must blow the horn 3 times and allow 5 minutes for women, children, and horses to clear the street.
Yeah, and then jump out and do the hokey pokey and spin it all around, left leg in, the right leg out, and all that kind of jazz.
And in the state of Florida, it's illegal to whistle underwater.
But
do what?
How would you whistle underwater?
I'm serious. It's a law in Florida. It's a state law. You can. It is illegal to whistle underwater.
Man, I tell you what.
Reality check. In Lewisville, Texas, it is illegal to produce electricity or mechanical energy by any means of wind power. Duh. The city itself is in violation of this whole ordinance over 25,000 times.
Yep, their electrical lines collect electricity static off the wind. Their radio towers collect static off the wind and store it in that tower enough to where it would knock you on your on a radio tower, enough where it would knock you on your butt if they didn't have like 5 or 6 ground lines going to it. They're creating electricity every day.
Now, I'll tell you what, man, the lack of common sense in this world is just mind-boggling, man. I mean, okay, here's the drug to cure your impotence. Make sure you ask your doctor if you can have sex first, but the chances of this might kill you, it's there. So, hey, buy my drug. You can't have this on your property. You can't have that on your property. Does somebody, anybody besides me, see the track record of those folks who are in charge and running these countries of the world? Their track record sucks, man. Come on. Common sense went out the window with the invention of the brass knuckles and or pogo sticks, and the two combined gonna get somebody hurt. If not the user.
The advertisement goes, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you listless? Do you feel bland? Is life just one big bummer and you feel like ending it all? Then take Vitalol. Take Vitalol. Yeah, side effects means your English has the participle dangling. Your liver quivers, your bladder splatters, and if rigor mortis set in, please stop taking immediately.
Yeah, and if your child acts out in school, it's all right. We got some dope. We can get your child high, and he'll behave himself in school. So you can use the government nanny service to basically babysit your child while you and your wife go out and work your butts off and try to survive. We'll indoctrinate and drug your child, and all's well. Never mind the fact that when that child finally, you can't afford that medicine anymore for some reason, your health care got cut or whatever, and that child's having serious withdrawal symptoms from taking what is basically a watered-down horse tranquilizer, and, your child freaks out and goes in and just goes postal on the planet, well, you know, it's all right. That's collateral damage. We can hang with that, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Contact your lawyer.
Yes. Call up
guaranteed to work and they'll leave money back.
Call up the lawyer and get a class action lawsuit, and you all have some money in your pocket. But the fact is, the doggone corporation, they don't go out of business. They just change names and sell the next drug in line.
I know what you're talking about. Like all the furniture companies in Texas, every one of them is bankrupt and going out of business and having an unbelievable sale. I mean, they buy a couch for $500. They advertise it for $1,200 for 1 week. And then, all of a sudden, the next week, the price is jacked up to $1,800. And they're bankrupt and going out of business, and all of a sudden you can buy this couch for $900. I mean, come on.
Yeah, out of business sales on a daily basis, man. How many businesses go out of business every single week?
But the economy is great, man. There's nothing wrong with our economy. Everything's fine. Look at what's going on, and you look at the unemployment. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
For 8 years in a row. Come on, people.
Well,
hey, listen, read, check, and out.
The first red flag that I kind of went across, I came across, was way back in the day in the United States Navy. They had this stuff called bug juice, which was Kool-Aid, right? And they made this stuff by the gallons. And so, you know, I like Kool-Aid. I drank a bunch of the Kool-Aid, you know. Everything was cool, you know. Hey, it tasted good. It was all right. But I had no idea what kind of, you know, effects that Kool-Aid would actually have until one day I saw a guy dumping it on the deck plates and was cleaning the floors with it. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? He said, this stuff is great for cleaning up deck plates. And I'm like, yeah, it breaks down the grease and everything. Yeah, that stuff is shining up like spit shine. And I'm like, doggone
it. Huh?
What is that doing to your gut or your teeth? You know? Come on. You're cleaning the floor with Kool-Aid that I'm drinking.
I got a good one for you, okay? It must have been about 35, 40 years ago. I was up in Oklahoma City working for a sheet metal company. And they gave me a new helper. So after about 3 or 4 days, every morning, we'd go straight to a 7-Eleven store. I'd get a cup of coffee. I'd pour that powdered cream in there. I don't use liquid milk or cream or any lactose in my coffee, because lactose and caffeine under heat will upset your guts and cause you to build gas, and you will, excuse my French again, fart often, a lot. So I use powdered cream. Anyway, this helper said, oh my God, you put that powdered cream in your coffee. If you knew what I knew, you could never, ever put that powdered cream in your coffee again. I said, well, what's bad about it? He said, oh my God, I can't tell you, because you like it too much. I said, look, if it's bad for me, tell me. He said, okay. He said, give me your cigarette lighter. Well, he didn't smoke. I did. So I gave him a cigarette lighter. He opened one up. He held it about 18 inches above the lighter. He lit the lighter, and he sprinkled it down, and all of a sudden he goes,
first in flames.
See?
Any powdered organic will burn.
He said, see? It burned. I said, so? He said, thankfully. I said, duh, if it didn't burn, I couldn't digest it. So what you're trying to tell me, the truth and honesty, is I need to put more of this in my coffee because I can't digest it. I mean, come on, people. Knowledge. Know what you're doing. Don't believe a stupid, ignorant, I did say stupid, didn't I? Stupidity is you cannot learn. Ignorant means you do not know, but you can learn. Learn what you are putting in your body. And vaccines, duh, some of them are good, most of them are bad. Learn what you're putting in your body.
Well, quality control is probably going to make a big difference in it. You know, if it's being made in some little meth lab down in Guatemala or something like that, and has some sort of magic marker label on it, I'd be seriously concerned about that.
I just bought 2 meth labs in Granbury, Texas. Why did I buy them? Because I didn't know they were a meth lab, but I didn't buy them to be a meth lab. I bought them because they were out. Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Scott, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, man, come on. I bought them dirt cheap because nobody wanted them, because everybody around there knew they were meth labs. I didn't. They were dirt cheap. Nobody wanted them. But nobody would want them. So I bought them, I cleaned them out, and now I sold them at a heck of a damn gone good price.
Yeah, they're no longer meth labs, are they?
They're homes.
Well, all I can say is that common sense has to rule the day, and you need to know what you're buying and where they're getting it from. You need to know what you're putting in your body. Because the alternatives is, like I said, with the Kool-Aid deal, they called it bug juice, and I guess they called it that for a reason, because they were able to clean up greasy deck plates with it, and yet people were consuming that. So had I seen that episode of the cleaning the floor before, I ever drank any of that. I'd have never drank any of that, you know? I mean,
well, dude, I got to add something here. Stephen Gibbons in the chat, he said, R.C. Christian, Christian Rosenkrantz, founder of the Rosencrucian Order. Anyway, so I asked him what that is. He says, R.C. Christian is signed at the bottom of the Georgia Guidestones. And then he gives a link to Wikipedia.org, Wiki, Rosicrucianism. Anyway, so anyway, just an, and he also says, just another Masonic, Hermetic, Kabbalah, Divinatory, Tarot sect. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing about that whole Georgia Guidestone to me is that the numbers...
it's a religion.
Yeah, the numbers on the stones and the numbers of the population is, to me, a red flag. We've got to drop it down to 500 million as opposed to 7 billion. That means somebody's got to go. No, now, are they saying that they're going to go on behalf of the rest of humanity? No, they're having guys... like Bill Gates say, if we do a good enough job with vaccinations, we can reduce the population and reduce our carbon footprint. And they got other individuals out there talking about, we put everybody in a tiny house. Go down into the city, for Pete's sake, and look at some of those low-income style houses and go in and check out one of the apartment sizes on there. It's like a cracker box, man. I mean, you got a living room, a tiny kitchen, a tiny bathroom, and a tiny bedroom, and it's all like, you know, this is a family lives in this thing right here, all right? Shove all these people into the cities, into these tiny little compact houses, and then vaccinate the heck out of them and watch them drop like flies. If somebody gets a cold, everybody in town has the cold. You're right in their face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, you got whole sections of town and everything that basically all of a sudden their appendix goes bad, and then their hospitals wake it up, and I mean rake it up, and then take the money, and then poop, next week it's something else, and a whole bunch of people come in for one other thing. It's basically what they're aimed, what frequencies they've got aimed at them, and all that kind of crap. There's all sorts of crazy stuff out there, and it's all designed to take your money in one deal. But it's amazing how only one town gets an epidemic of a certain disease, and then bam, it goes to after the hospitals make their money, it goes to another disease.
Okay, now fucking now,
so you take those little small cities. After the people die, then you go ahead and you clean it all up, and you move a whole bunch more in, right?
Including Crocodile Dundee was full of satires. One of the most favorite satire in that movie that pertains to what we're talking about is when he came from Australia to the United States. The first place he came to was New York, and as he was flying over New York, he's looking at all those buildings, and the girl says to him, there's 8 billion people living here. So next scene, he's in the limousine and driving through the streets of New York, and he says, you know, New York has got to be the most friendly city in the world. And the girl looks at him, why would you say that? He said, think about it, 8 billion people, and all of them want to live together.
8 billion people, New York, you get yourself killed trying to walk down the street. They'll either run you over or try to mug you or whatever. Jeez, really? Man, they're mad. They're not happy. They're crammed. They got a cramp in their leg and they want out.
Yes. Now they have done experiments by putting rats in a confined cage, giving them all the water and all the food they could possibly eat, and yet they keep breeding and breeding. Next thing you know, they're sleeping on top of each other. One tries to roll over, the one on top gets upset and bites him because he woke him up. And next thing you know, all hell breaks loose, and excuse my French again, and they start fighting. Why? Because they're crowded.
Yeah.
Well,
we're not on top of each other yet. As a matter of fact, we got more than enough food to feed the whole world, especially if we get rid of all these stupid pesticides and crazy things that go in there and all the GMOs, because basically the GMOs are 5% nutrition, maybe 10 to 15% of the taste, and they got things in there that harm your body that wind up using the nutrients that go into your body. You can stuff yourself with GMOs and starve to death.
Well, going back to what Stone Lee and Stephen Gibbons was talking about, if the news says it, go the opposite direction, if the elite are saying it, and they're supposedly looking out for everybody's best interest, but if you're listening to the actual words coming out of their mouth, I don't see what best interest comes about via depopulation, man. I don't. And as far as the world getting overpopulated, it's my firm belief we could support 10 times the population we've got now, and it wouldn't be a problem if everybody lived, you know, with common sense. And if
there's no reason why we can't do like China.
If we got two,
only have one or two kids.
If we got too overpopulated, nature would kick in and throw a bug our way, and a bunch of us would drop off, and nature would balance itself out like nature always does. You know? Our main concern.
What's the limit on how many kids we could have?
Yeah.
There's a lot of families out there just growing kids so they can have the benefits.
Well, that's what China does. China says you can only have a couple kids.
How about we scrap one of the new fighters that the American government wants to buy and build $600,000 house for every homeless person in America?
Yeah, there you go.
New fighter jet. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
That'd be a great idea.
Hey, well, I think that's a great idea.
Not to take down, take a few days of what they spend overseas on war and take that money and completely set up the whole United States on free energy.
Well, yeah, 17 billion a year spent on wars. It would cost about 2 billion a year approximately to feed every single person on this planet right now.
Yeah.
What would you vote for?
Well, I tell you what, if I knew that my tax money was literally going to solve problems of the world instead of causing problems of the world, I would have no problems paying more taxes. I would volunteer to pay more taxes if I knew that they were going to feed the hungry with that.
Yeah, you send food over to there that hits their borders, the government seizes it for political control.
Yeah.
What's our money being used for? Let me see. They built FEMA camps. They built underground cities. They have spent how many trillions of dollars to debank through the perpetual war that never exists? Come on, guys. We have been taking it up the butt for so many years, and it's time for people to wake up and say, enough is enough.
Well,
kind of a legacy laying down, we've really got to think about
that. And there's got to be a starting point, and that's why this radio show...
Within yourself, buddy. It's in within yourself and making the decision that you're going to do everything, like Raymond said, everything that you can possibly do to fight the system.
Yeah.
I mentioned on your show there...
Bend over backwards, but I ain't bending over backwards.
Hey, buddy, listen, I talked to this to you about a week ago. Now, this is a fact that every American right now that is having taxes deducted at source can go into their employer's office, go down to the government office, get a form, print it out, sign it, and give it to your employer, and your income taxes will no longer be deducted at source. If everybody in America did this, now this is true, guys, you got to look into it. If everybody did that in America right now, say, okay, your money's not coming off at source, you got that extra income, what's that going to do to home-based businesses, where you can take that money, all of a sudden reinvest it in something that's going to be beneficial to you and your family and community, and keep it away from the government. What a tool that would be alone, guys. Things you could look into.
Yep.
One thing I wanted to add.
Well, yeah. Here's another point that would be good to add to what you're saying there, Barry, is the system likes it when you protest. The system likes it when you get rowdy, because here's the thing.
Brings more attention.
For one, the news companies are going to get more ratings by showing everybody that you're rioting. And the police are going to get more money because they're going to arrest you and take you to jail, and you're going to get fined, and then there's more money in the system that way. And even while you're staying in jail, they're making money off you while you're in jail, for Pete's sake. So, you know, from start to finish, it doesn't matter what you do to try to go out there and hold your sign up, your little picket sign up in front of the deal and peaceful protest. The cops are going to come along and pepper spray you and beat you toothless because the man says you're on the sidewalk and you're supposed to be over there in that little fenced-in area, the protest zone, to have your freedom of speech. Something ought to be a red flag about that. As opposed to going out there, you know, take the money you spent on the sign and go out there and use that to support somebody out there who is actually doing something that is building a entire different, separate system from the system that we're all hollering about. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. And if everybody sat down and thought about today what they can do for just the simple things in their life that they can start fighting against the system, you know, we've talked many, many times about not supporting corporations. In my own life, we have to live by example, and I am living by that example now. I don't support corporations unless I absolutely have to. I know there's things in my life that I still have to pay corporations for, but things like shopping at Walmart. Boom. If we look at the history of Walmart, what Walmart's doing to people, guys, it would make you want to stop. But here we are in a society where everything is so convenient, everything's so cheap, that we really aren't looking at the big picture. And if you can support local business, that is a start in your community. It really is. I know that's not possible in big cities. I understand that, you know, big cities are controlled by corporations, that you have your grocery stores, and what's in that grocery store is pretty well all you can buy. But there's, you know, simple things you can do, like growing your own vegetables in your garden, growing vegetables in your kitchen, hanging a blueberry a basket in your kitchen, or a tomato basket in your kitchen. I've got straight plants in the house right now, and I'm growing fresh tomatoes. And I have enough tomatoes, I can take a tomato every couple days and eat it right there, boom. Yeah. I'm not eating pesticides and crap out of the store. And our food is so poisonous to this.
Something else to point out is that, you know, when I was listening to you talk about Walmart, it brought something to mind about, you know, people will choose the lesser of two evils. Regardless of whether you choose the lesser of two evils, you're still choosing evil. And growing your own fruit, that's not evil. That's common sense. That should have been what you did all along to, at very least, supplement your finances towards your food bill and so on and so forth. But, you know, there is no choosing the lesser of two evils. If you're choosing the Democrat because you think he's less evil than the Republican, you're still getting the same thing you didn't want to begin with. You're giving the power to the evil, period. You want to choose the not evil, you know. Go out there and choose your farmer who would sell you some vegetables straight off the farm instead of going up there paying the guy who bought it for whatever and then put a 300% markup on it. You know, you're going to benefit the farmer because he's got cash in hand. You're going to benefit yourself because you didn't have all that trash in between that food had to go to get to your table.
Yeah. Hey, can I read the last statements here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Basically, Stoneley says it is possible that we, like many other species, need to cull ourselves. But I think everyone should have a say in how it's done, not just a chosen few. Then he goes on, there are more empty houses in the U.S. than homeless people. Think about that.
Yeah, why couldn't those folks live in the empty house, man? You know? Why couldn't you, like, send the people in there to fix it up a little bit with recycled materials and offer them a home and offer them a job? And you know, it doesn't have to be a handout. It could be a hand up, you know, whenever you're done with this house.
Pull them off the street,
you get financially stable.
Into the new house, give them what they need for a bit and let them get on their feet. It's like giving the man a pole.
Yeah.
Teach him how to fish. It's Stephen Gibbons. He said, we need to have at least 4 children for the population to increase. Any less, it reduces. The First and Second World War was a cull of the 2.4 child policy. Was a cull, and the 2.4 child policy did the rest. Because kids die, people die, so you're not increasing, not everybody has children, so I understand that. Well, if we went to two children per family, the population would decrease.
So
we don't need all this crazy stuff.
We don't have to worry about that, because they're
killing our world.
So
we don't need disease. We don't need killing. We don't need this, this doggone, what do they call it, military type of state. We don't need none of that. What we need is just if the population is too big.
So basically,
like Stone says, there's more houses than there are homeless people. I'm sorry, I just don't see that we're overpopulating
yet. In the elite psychotic mind frame, it's good to go to war because it's going to, in the long term, benefit all of humanity by decreasing the population. That's nuts!
Pain and suffering brings them profit.
Yeah. Can't sell no bullets if there ain't no wars. You can't sell no drugs if people ain't sick.
That's right. That's why they put mercury in them.
Well, guys, we're down to the last 4 minutes here. We're probably going to run just a hair over like we usually do. I'm going to get beat up one of these days for running over. But anyway, you guys, we want to go around the table and have your last say. You got to make it short and sweet so we ain't too far over. Anybody?
I'll start out. We look at Bill Gates owning the patent on the Ebola
virus
cure. Okay, so then they basically they take this cure and they put it out for people to volunteer to take it, and if somebody lives through it, then they have the cure. And that's the way I see it. Whatever they advertise, just think the opposite and say, it's code. And you're going to be pretty much right. So take it at that. Get you some free energy. Learn how to make a generator. Learn how to make whatever. But, you know, you don't need electricity to live. The main thing is find out what you can eat around you. Start cultivating it. You can't have gardens because of the S10 5S10 doggone bill and crap. Basically, you can't grow a garden. You can't give it to your neighbors. You can't sell it. You can't this. You can't even have one unless it's the genetically modified crap. Something wrong there. At least if you grow the right weeds, check out eattheweeds.com.
Yep.
There's a lot of weeds out there. It's got a lot more nutrition, a lot better for you than the vegetables that we're normally used to eating. Check it out, people.
2 minutes.
Get smart. You know, get that little education down in you. Knowledge is power. I tell you what, wisdom is even better. So take the wisdom and go search it for yourself and learn. I'm done.
I'm next, and I am totally 100% with Scott Brown, buddy, man. People, if you're listening to this radio show, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Stupidity is you cannot learn. Ignorance.
That's a disease.
No. You can learn. Know what you're putting in your body. Know what your politicians are doing. And again, like what he said, if you don't belong in this country, then why are you running it? I mean, come on.
Well, I got my views on that guy. But I'll keep that for next show.
Trying to tell us how to run ours. That's right. Amen.
All right. Well, what about you, Barry? You got anything last? We're running over.
Yeah, I know. We always run over. But yeah, I agree with Brandon. Like, we are responsible for what's going on around us, guys. And we're responsible for what we put into our bodies, what we feed our children. We're responsible to look at the knowledge that we're talking about. You know, if half the things we're talking about today are true, or 25% of what we're talking about today is true, it would, in my mind, warrant some of your time to look at some of the things we're saying. And we're in a battle right now, guys. There's all kinds of stuff going on in this world that are really designed to distract us, to put us into a state of disarray. I see this happening every day. And all I can say is do not fall for the fear that they're going to try and put into our hearts here in the near future.
Yeah, I agree. And
you know, because it's going to be a mechanism they use, and a lot of people are going to fall for it. Should this. So, my thoughts for the day. Thanks for having me in again. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
I plug my show real quick. Shannon, I got the leader of the new Libertarian Party. Now, politicians are politicians. I never believe what a politician says, but I've had conversations now with 6 or 7 of the candidates for the new Libertarian Party in Canada. The party is growing in leaps and bounds. Their platform is everything that I believe and I stand for. Today I'm having the leader of the Libertarian Party join me for an hour conversation. Should this, and anybody want to hear what's going on in Canadian politics, I urge them to tune in. The Shaken Woods Radio at 3 p.m. this afternoon Pacific, and listen to what Tim has to say. He's an incredible individual.
Cool. Bring him on the night sometime.
I was going to actually get him in this morning. I was looking for him on Skype, and I was he wasn't on Skype this morning. I messaged him, but I would love to get him in here next week. And the gentleman really speaks. He basically started a sentence, and he will finish it. He's totally awake and aware of what's going on. And everything the party stands for is what I believe would be a total revolution in politics. So please, guys, if you have a chance, listen to this guy. Talking today at 3 p.m. Very, very intelligent, incredible individual. Tim Bowen from the Libertarian Party, 3 p.m. Pacific, Shake and Wake Radio. Thanks for letting me plug that, Judith.
All right. Well, everybody, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. It is a fact that we are definitely in a battle between good and evil, and truth is what we're all seeking. And so, you guys, you know, it's going to be up to each and every one of you to get out there and find what is the truth and put that truth out there to people and just try to take care of one another, you know. We're probably in for some rough times, but I think together, if we use some common sense, some peace, hope, and love, we can get through this thing as a family. And that's my hope, and that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. So with that said, peace and love to everybody out there. Stay tuned for whoever's coming up next.
Man! Ma'am, sorry! What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how'd you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help! I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and all the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot. No, we're not.
have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Always looking to serve the table in the Knights of the Round Table.